96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about a very delicate and difficult topic. How do you cope when a loved one is incarcerated? So many of us are familiar with this issue, but tonight we have resources to help those of you struggling with it. My guests are Horace Handing Jr., a substance abuse professional, Carol Finnelly, executive director of Hope House. We'll hear from her in a bit. And we'll also hear from Michael Hall, a former inmate and father of four sons, all of them now in prison. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Before we hear from our guests, we'll hear from Daily Drum producer Tiffany Copeland, who spoke with William Quarles. He is the son of Michael Hall, and he's been incarcerated for 6 years.
It had an inadvertent effect on me because I followed in his footsteps, not knowingly, not set out to try to be him or to surpass him in a negative aspect. But when I started taking to dealing drugs and doing bad things and missing out on school and taking away from football and things that I love, I didn't put too much thought into it because it was so commonplace.
Your father was in prison. You had relatives who were in prison as well. And you saw this growing up. So what advice would you give for children who are going through a similar situation?
I have many, many people that was trying to reach out to me, as far as my football coaches and, you know, schools and other mentors. And I used to shy away from them and avoid them when I was doing wrong because I was ashamed. Even though that you may mess up, don't be scared or don't be afraid to ask for help from those who are trying to help you.
So, William, what motivates you the most to stay out of the prison system?
One of the main motivations for myself, by seeing my father, he has done more time incarcerated than I have. He's older than I am, than I was when I came home, and yet he has still rehabilitated himself and motivated himself to be a successful entrepreneur. So if he can do it, I'm thinking like, all right, I have no reason not to.
Michael, your son, William, what do you think about what he just shared with us?
Very proud of what he just said. And it goes along with what I'm trying to do. I feel like he said, I led him into that life. And now I'm trying to lead him out of it by example. I'm teaching at PG Community College. I'm working with nonprofits, with my catering company. I'm just trying to show him that it's possible.
How did you get into this situation, and how did your sons fall into this hole? What's the story?
Well, the story is real simple. I watched my mother and my father raised me off selling narcotics and didn't feel anything was that bad about it. I went into service, came out, was slow getting employed, and then became self-employed in that trade. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of small incarcerations, I received a 10-year incarceration in 96 to 06, and I changed my life around. I pursued my culinary career, just went at it very hard. I obtained apprenticeships in United States Department of Labor, State Departments of Labor, ServSafe certifications, Proctor. It's just, the list is real long, and that's it.
But your sons, you had five sons. One of them is deceased. He was, as you mentioned, he was killed in a incident involving police. He was shot by police.
Correct.
Your other four sons are still in prison. As a father, how do you cope with this, seeing that this is what you've come from And right now, you're the only success story. Would you say that? Is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate. William is also part of the success story. I feel strongly that when the others are released, they'll be part of the success story. I urge them to take advantage of any and every program available to them. I wish there were more while they're incarcerated, but the system is taking away the Pell Grant for education.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other venues, but they're not as strong. And we all know without education, it's a very, very tough road.
Speaking of programs, while they are in prison, and a lot of families are going through this, one of the difficult things is for families to maintain a bond. Certainly technology does help. We're not just having to write letters, I'm sure, and there are other things out there. But, you know, how do you personally maintain a bond, with your sons?
I maintain a bond with my sons through communication. Yes, you have emails, you have phone calls, but my bond with them is more on what are you doing? Okay. Give me highlights on what are you doing to put your program together, your 5-year plan together for when you get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because without a plan, there is not going to be any success.
We have Carol Finley on the line. I mentioned earlier she is with Hope House. Carol, briefly tell me what Hope House is and what you're doing to help keep families connected while some members are on the outside and others are on the inside.
Well, excuse me. Hope House started about 15 years ago when Lorton was closing and D.C. inmates were being shipped all over the country. And we started programs to help fathers in prison stay connected to their kids back here in D.C. We do 3 programs. The first program we started was our video visitation program, and we started that in 1999. We pick up kids after school, we bring them to our office, and they get an hour of Skyping with their dads, who are in a prison in North Carolina at Rivers Correctional Institution.
Mm-hmm.
And our second program is our reading program, our family literacy program. And we go to about 13 facilities and record fathers reading books to their kids. And then we ship the books and the recordings home to the children. We've recorded about 19,000 books over the last 15 years and
wow.
sent them home to children. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we do a summer camp behind bars. We do that in 3 facilities, where we take kids to spend 5 days with their dads. And we're inside the prisons 5 hours a day for 5 days doing crafts and kind of cool summer camp activities to help families get to know each other. We've actually had children meet their fathers for the first time at summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time for kids and dads to build stronger relationships, learn more about each other, so that when dad comes home, there's not such a huge distance, a huge gap in knowledge about one another.
And your organization can be found at hopehousedc.org. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the way the program works is the fathers, we start at the prison with the dads. The dads apply for the program, and then we work them back to the moms and the kids because we want the dads to really take the initiative to get into the program.
Okay. Very, very quickly, Horace, because I need to go to a break, but you were on the inside at one point. What emotional toll does that take on those that are locked up when they want to talk to their families, when they want to reach out and find it difficult to connect?
It's very emotional, Mr. Fisher. It's very painful. It's very emotional. When you have a loved one that's incarcerated for a long period of time and in different facilities all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of contact can be devastating at times because you don't know what's going on with them. You haven't heard from them for a while. And it can be very painful at the end because you don't know whether they're hurt. You don't know whether they're in the hole. You don't know whether they've been attacked. You don't know whether the jail is on lockdown or whatever. You don't know what's going to make
you. You don't know if you've been forgotten.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. And you worry. You stay up at night. Moms can't work when they're at work. Kids can't focus in school. Grandmothers can't focus at home. it's a domino effect, and it really emotionally damages the entire family.
Hold that point. I'm going to take a break. We're going to take some phone calls. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We're talking about coping with loved ones behind bars. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about how you can cope when a loved one is incarcerated. My guests are Horace Anding, Jr., a substance abuse professional, Carol Finnelly. She is the executive director of Hope House, an organization that connects the incarcerated with a family and loved ones on the outside, and Michael Hall, a former inmate and father of four sons, three of them are incarcerated. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Three. Okay, wonderful. Thank you all again for joining me. The phone lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Wanted to remind you, if you are interested in connecting with Hope House, if you have a loved one incarcerated and trying to make that connection, you can get more information on their website at hopehousedc.org. That's hopehousedc.org. Let's talk a little bit about what you're planning now, Michael, for your sons. I mean, you have a catering service. When they come out, are they going to work for you, or how are you going to handle that?
Well, the opportunity is going to be there.
Okay.
The opportunity has to be there because this is what I've done. This is how the roadmap I'm showing you on how it can be done, how you can obtain your house and a job and the things that you want to make you comfortable, the things that you sought before getting incarcerated, but you sought them in the wrong fashion. So if they choose to, the door is wide open for it.
Let me go to the phone lines. Loran calling from Martinsburg, West Virginia. Loran, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing just fine.
I'd like to say I did 9 years in the federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after doing it and being out, I'm just about ready to get off of paper. And I'm a success story. I would like to say, you know, the ones that are inside, it's not us doing the time. It's the ones outside. Our families are doing the time. And, you know, my experience with this is that if family just sends a picture or sends something, the connection will get there. I mean, a lot of people, we as inmates sit there and wait for mail, and we don't get none, you know, and then that draws us down. But, you know, we try to reach out sometime. I can say from my experience, as I heard you say, too, about programming, that they're taking away from everywhere, state, federal, everything, federal prisons. Just if they give programs out there, in there, please take advantage of it. And I'll say that I've come out and I'm doing really good. I'm blessed.
Loran, hold your point. I want to keep you on the line, but I have to take yet another break. So if you are on the phone, that includes Loran, Karen, and Kevin, stay with me. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Again, Hope House, you can find it at hopehousedc.org. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds to continue the conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141.